Big happy Father's Day to everybody. It is, Danielle shared about her dad, Ray, who was a great dad. My dad, actually, I am the age now, 54, that my dad had me. Oh my gosh. If he was alive, he would be 108, which is scary on so many levels. I was thinking it would be awesome if he was, I'd love to have my dad here. He'd be so proud. It would be a really cool thing for him to see what God's done in our church and through us. And so that would mean me, 54, having a kid. Yeah, no, we're good. We're done. I'm great with my kids. That's enough. Thank you very much. But some of you are 54. It's not too late, just so you know. That's the message for today. Billy Graham said this, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. A good father. Let me say that again. A good father is one of the most, if you're sitting beside your husband and he's a good father, squeeze his hand while we say this just now. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. So I want to shout out to all the good fathers. I'm not going to say the great fathers because I think all of us would say we're not really great fathers. We try our hardest, but we've got gaps, but we try to be good. And I reckon there's so many good dads in this church. And I just want to celebrate you, granddads, dads, spiritual dads, so many of you who provide a range of different things for us. And again, one more time, we put our hands together for all our dads. We're not looking for perfect fathers. We're looking for good dads. And ultimately, our role as good dads is to point our kids towards the perfect dad, our Heavenly Father. We'll talk a little bit about that today. I've been thinking and studying about, well, what is it that makes a good dad? What is a dad's role? And like I said, I was blessed to have a very good dad and a really godly dad who ticks so many of the things I'm going to talk about. So I've sort of come up with five things that I believe is a father's role. And so for those of you who are dads and maybe are feeling like, oh, many years, maybe have I missed my moment? It's never too late to become a better dad. It's never too late to become a better dad as a granddad or whatever it might be. So I'm going to put these five things up here of what I believe biblically is a father's role. This is kind of out of study and a range of different things. A father's role for their children. So our role, this is what our role is, dads, is to demonstrate love to our children, to give them identity and affirmation, to train them and to guide them, to provide and protect for them, and to model godliness. This is five things I believe. We'll leave it up there. I'm just going to go through a few of these with us this morning. So, and then I'm going to talk about, so don't switch off if you're not a dad or if your dad did none of these things. Don't switch off. This will, it will all come together for us at the end. But the first thing is that father's role is to demonstrate love. Now, the Five Love Languages book spells out five different ways to express love. It can be through physical touch. And when the kids are little, we give them tickles and we roll around on the floor with them and we wrestle with them. And as they get older, dads, we still chase them around the room and hug them. I said to dads recently, the real men, even when your daughters are at that awkward teenage age and you're not sure what to hug or where to hug or how to hug, still chase them and hug them. Even if they run away, they're to test. They want you to, because if you don't hug them, some schmuck boy is going to come along and he will hug them. They need you to hug them. All right. So that's number one, physical touch, all sorts of different ways. A quality time. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. Time. So whether that's, and I have great memories with my dad of kicking the footy in the hallway of our house in Victoria or out in the driveway or being out in the farm playing cricket with daylight savings with a strip mowed in the middle of the paddock, dodging cow manure, but dad being out there and playing, you know, it's just quality time. Whatever it is, some of you are fishermen or surfers or you play chess or you do maths problems or you make projects in the backyard, in the garage, whatever it is, but quality time. Some of you have got daughters and you play with dolls. I salute you. That is awesome. And that's you're just spending quality time. Acts of service. So we're laying down our lives for our kids. Words of affirmation. We'll talk about in a moment when it comes to giving identity and affirmation. and you model godliness. We'll get to it. Sorry, I'm still on demonstrating love. We do it through words of affirmation and through gifts. Gifts. Maybe the gift is reading bedtime stories. Maybe the gift is, dads, we let our kids take risks. When mum says, no, that's not safe, we just go, I'll be fine. Come on, you go to the playground. Who's the one pushing the kids so high? It's dads. That's what we do. They'll be fine. It's going to work out okay. My dad used to let me drive a tractor around the farm when I was about 7 years old. It's so good. So good. Take me down the back where mum wasn't and do all this stuff. This is some of the things that we do. So this is part of the role. We demonstrate love, and it will be different for each child. And so demonstrating love is an important part, expressing love, acceptance to our children. The next thing that we do is we give them identity and affirmation. This is what we saw Jesus receive from his heavenly Father when he was water baptized. The audible voice of God was recorded not very many times in the Bible, but this is one of them. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, Matthew 3 verse 17, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There's two things going on here. One is identity. This is my son. This is my son. This is what dad said. This is my daughter. This is my son. And that we speak life. When we're speaking identity, we're saying that you're valuable, that you have a purpose, that you're beautifully and wonderfully made, that you're created for something great, that there's greatness in you. We're speaking life over our children. And then the next thing, so God said, "This is my beloved son." That's identity. Then he said, "In whom I'm well pleased." That's affirmation. That means he's living a life that I'm proud of. And so good dads will find things that their kids that are doing that they are pleased in. Anyone can find things that the kids can improve in, but good dads find things that the kids are doing really well. We focus on their strengths and we praise them. We speak affirmation over their life. Good dads train and guide. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." This takes years. This takes presence. This takes being involved. This takes noticing things. This takes being engaged. We train in godly. We train in a whole lot of different ways. Character, how to treat women, how to treat those in authority, how to treat your teachers, how to treat those who are less fortunate than us, to honor and respect and to be kind. We teach work ethic. We teach how to handle money, humility, integrity, how to contribute to society. These are all things that dads train up our children in with our mums, obviously not our mums, but with our wives. Then Proverbs 3 verse 12 says this, "Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father disciplines the son he delights in." So part of the role of dad is not going, "Oh, that's mum's job. See you later. She's going to discipline you." Our role is to discipline. Now, discipline can be misunderstood. It's not punishment, it's preparation. So we're preparing our kids so that they learn safe, just good life skills things. And so we do discipline. I'm not going to get into how that works today. I love Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them." So discipline is not punishment. It's not punitive. But this is what it says, "Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master." Discipline's not out of a place of being authoritarian or harsh. You know, great language for this, and I remember Danielle discovering this and saying, this would be really good language for us to say, is when the kids come home and they say, "Everybody at school's doing this. Everybody at the football club's doing that." Well, what we don't say is, well, that's because they don't love you. We don't say that. We don't say that's because they're bad parents, because you know what our kids are going to say? They're going to go and tell their friends that we told their parents that they're bad parents. We just say, "Oh, that's okay, but in our family, this is what we do. In our family, we don't have mobile phones before the age of whatever that might be. In our families, we don't, whatever. You work it out, what your values are. This is what we do." So this is training and guiding. And then number four, provide and protect. Provide and protect. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, "Those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." Part of the role of being dad is to shoulder the responsibility of provision for the family. Shout out to all the dads who work a job that you don't really like, but it's putting food on the table. Shout out to all the dads who are flying away and working hard to be able to provide a house for your family. Shout out to all the dads working the double job, whatever the case may be. Now, hey, just a little disclaimer. I'm shouting out dads today. I know there's a lot of mums who do the same stuff, but it's Dad's Day today, okay? So I'm shouting out the dads today. I talked to a little fella on the way in and we were like having a bit of a joke and go, when's Son's Day? And me and the dad are like, every day is Son's Day. We get one day a year, buddy, make it worthwhile for us. So we provide, dads. It's part of our responsibility with God. Part of it is, and then we protect. We protect. Who's going to kill those spiders? Come on. Who's going to take out those rats? You know, even with possum traps, some of us get sucked in. We do that. One of the best things, dads, we can do in terms of protection for our children is to pray for them. To pray for them every day. That they would hear, prayer. They'd hear us praying. They'd hear us singing. They'd hear us worshiping. The most powerful protection thing you can do is pray the word of God over your children. Protection also means protection from negative influences. That means we're not passive dads. We're active dads. That means we're active and saying, well, if there's a negative influence with these devices, with these friends, with this social media, with this school, that we're going to be active in getting our kids into a place where they actually are protected from things that are trying to take them out. The devil wants our kids and someone has to stand up and fight for them. That's what dads do. All right, and the last one is model godliness. Paul often described himself as a spiritual father. He said, you've got many teachers, 10,000 instructors, but not many spiritual fathers. And this is the language of a spiritual father. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So dads, our job, and you know, how many of you had that moment when your kid did something and you're like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And you're like, oh, that was me. They're copying me. They're saying things that I say. And sometimes it's things that mum says. But anyway, it's a careful territory today. It's Dad's Day today, right? Yeah, and I'm leaving that alone. All right, so dads, we model godliness. Have you ever heard the expression that if I was to stand, the description of we catch what you've got, not what you say. If I came up to you and talked to you today, I talked about the mumps. I did a scientific study about the mumps. I put screens up on the mumps. But if I've got the measles, what are you going to catch? You're going to catch the measles. It's because what I've got, not what I'm talking about. This is one of the challenges of anyone in public leadership role, because if you're not modeling the values you're teaching from a platform at home, then you're just an actor. You're not a leader. And so part of our role is to model what we say, to make sure what we say lives up. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. No, of course it doesn't. All my kids are going to have therapy one day. It's okay. It's just how it rolls. That's because I got gaps. Don't you laugh. You got gaps. That's how it works. I was very fortunate. I've got a photo. I've got one of my favorite photos of my dad that I share often on Father's Day. I want to put it up here. My dad was a great role model of a godly man. I would go in the mornings and he would be reading that living Bible before 6 in the morning. He would be praying. He'd take my mom a cup of tea. He'd pray for our family. He would lead family devotions, open up the scripture. We'd pray for missionaries in this country and this family member and this person. He spoke well of my mom and treated her well. He was kind and warm and talked to everybody. You'd walk down the street and my dad would be waving to people. He took us to annual conferences and atmosphere where my life was marked. He opened up his home for lonely people to come on in and be part of an extended family. The Bible says this, that the God places the lonely in families. And my dad and mum made that part of their role, to take people in to be part of our family. G.K. Chesterton puts it like this, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. And my dad did that really, really well. He was a great role model for me. So there's 5 things for us if we put those things back up. Now, here's where it gets challenging, because some of you are going through that as I share it and you're going, tick, my dad was that, tick, my dad was that. Or even part of the self-reflection, dads were like, well, I'm trying hard at that. Oh, I've missed that. I missed the mark here. Or maybe there's quite a few. And so we get to now what I call the honor struggle. The honor struggle. Because the Bible says this, and it's one of the Ten Commandments, and it says, honor your father and your mother, that it might be well for you in your life. If Paul, when he starts talking about family life in Ephesians chapter 6, says, he quotes that scripture, honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. There's a link between honoring father and mother and having a good long life. So if I put that up on the screen and my dad wasn't any of those things, how am I going to honor? Or if you're some of those things. And so I want to talk a little bit about what I think is a healthy exercise, because I'm blessed to be able to stand here today and say I had a really good father. But I know many of you are not. Tonight, Pastor Josh and I are going to have a conversation around family life. And I know one of the things he said to me is he used to hate coming to Father's Day services because it would trigger things on the inside of him. And I know some of you here, some of you, your dad's committed suicide. Some of him here, your dads are just not being at all involved in your life. Some of them, they died really young. Some of them, they've been abusive. Some of them, there's all sorts of things. So how do we deal with the honor struggle? So this is what I want us to talk. I want to talk about three things. The first is to find the things that we can be thankful for. This might take some digging. But the starting place, that you can only honor what you're thankful for. So it may be that you honor your father that he gave you life. That might be it. It might be that, okay, well, there was a roof over my head. I grew up with a roof over my head. I grew up with food on the table. So there was provision. So what we do is we go through and we write down the things we're thankful for, we celebrate, and we honor. And when it comes to writing Father's Day cards and saying Father's Day things to our dads, we focus on those things. Thank you for these things that you gave to me. Thank you for the work ethic that you gave me an example of. Thank you for whatever it might be. We focus on those things. We call them Father's blessings. We thank God for them. We celebrate and we honor them. But then there are gaps. So there's gaps. All of us have got gaps. In the words of Rocky Balboa, you've got gaps, I've got gaps, together we've got gaps. Adrian, sorry. So we've got gaps, all of us. And part of the Father's Day journey, sometimes dads, is forgiving ourselves for our gaps, not being too hard on ourselves. And so when it comes to our gaps, these gaps might mean, and if we keep those five things up, might mean that because of our emotional upbringing, we've struggled to give affirmation and say positive words, even though they might be in our hearts, but have struggled to express them. And maybe your dad struggled to express affirmation to you. And if I look at my dad, the gap that he had is he wasn't good at verbally expressing affirmation and love. So that was a gap. The rest of those things, I'd go, absolutely, I knew it. He'd hug and all these things. So the gaps could be because of a personality. The gaps could be because of a love language mismatch. Your dad's love language is acts of service and physical touch, and yours is words of affirmation and gifts, and so he never really expressed that, never connected. So that could just be gaps. That could be emotional deficiencies. Often what's happened to us is what we repeat to the next generation. You don't know any better. Maybe never been in a place that's taught about fatherhood or studied the Bible. Maybe it's a bad father's example or just our own struggles. We've got gaps. And so what we need to do when we become aware of our Father's Day gap, our father's gaps, is they're not the things we put on Facebook. When we celebrate for the blessings, but we still need to personally deal with the gaps. And ultimately, the gaps can be create wounds, or we get into the situation where our father did not just missed some things, but actually did the opposite of what a father's supposed to do. So instead of demonstrating love, they've gone absent. They've been violent, abandoned, ridiculed, been emotionally absent, favored another sibling. Instead of speaking identity, and these are things that aren't gaps, now we're getting to the stage of wounds, where our fathers wounded us. They didn't speak identity, instead they ridiculed us, made fun of us, called names. They didn't train and guide us. In fact, they gave a bad example and were in an addictive lifestyle, escaped away from us, and all of that, rather than training and guiding and being present, they weren't there. They didn't protect, they abused. They didn't protect, they let others have their way with us and didn't stand up for us. They didn't model godliness. Sometimes it's one of the worst things is to be in a church-going house where dad's one way publicly, but separately lives a whole different lifestyle. And it's horrible at home, and dad's been unfaithful to mum or whatever the case may be. And so now there's this conflict of two standards going on. So what do we do when our fathers not only didn't live up to what the biblical standard for being a good dad is, but have actually been the opposite and have wounded us? How do we deal with that? Last week, we talked about emotional health. I really encourage you, if you missed last week, go back and watch it. Because one of the things we talked about is emotional health is usually a reflection of how we deal and process negative emotions. And I talked about this idea that one of the worst things that we can do with negative emotions, and come on, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but just there's some negative emotions. You're feeling them in the room today because we're talking about something that's confronting. So when we talk about the worst thing we can do is one of two things, and I basically said this last week. One is just stuff them down. I don't want those emotions. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go and escape. I want to dull the pain. So that's called suppression. And sometimes for safety and for just survival, you have to suppress. I get that. But long term, if we suppress, it's going to come out. It's going to come out in physical health and sickness. It's going to come out in self-hatred. It's going to come out actually in being driven to try and prove dad wrong. It's going to come out in insecurity, lack of confidence. It's going to come, all sorts of things that's going to come out. So either we suppress, or the other thing is we just swim in the negativity and never really process it healthily. So let me talk about, and there's a number of different ways to process, but the starting place is to acknowledge I've got pain because of the gaps or wounds of my father. Once we start with that, then the second thing to do is this: I'm making a choice to forgive. That not because they deserve it, not because they've apologized. Some of our dads are dead, and you can't actually get them to apologize to you. But forgiveness is not because they're sorry. Forgiveness is because I don't want to be trapped anymore by your behavior and what it did to me. I'm jumping out of the effects of that, and the doorway out of being trapped with emotional pain is a choice to forgive. I'm making a choice to forgive. You're like, oh, well, I feel like it. No, you'll probably feel really annoyed, triggered, upset. But you're like, I'm not going to get held by that anymore. You've probably heard it said like this: unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person's going to get affected. So we make a choice to forgive. Are we going okay this morning? Once we make that choice to forgive, just because you've made the choice to forgive doesn't mean the pain goes. So now we've got to process the pain. And this is what the Holy Spirit's amazing at helping us do. God wants to help you process pain. He wants to help me process pain. He's amazing at it. There's a number of different ways to do it. Prayer is a way. We're going to open up the altar soon and just have a moment. And it could be, you might spend 12 months responding to altar calls going, I've forgiven my father or whoever it might be, but now I'm releasing the pain of that, because they're two different things. I'm giving over. I'm released. So it could be prayer. It could be counseling. One of the things that I've seen help people dramatically is actually writing genuine letters that you don't send. Okay, this is not about making our dads feel guilty. Setting boundaries up, is often a healthy part of the healing journey. So we're not just saying, I forgive you, all's good, and you can hurt me again. So setting boundaries is important. But ultimately, a letter would go like this. I'm writing to your dad, dear dad, and you start with, I'm thankful for these things. This is what I'm thankful for. This is what you did well. And you might have to really struggle to find a few things, but I'm thankful for you. And I'm choosing, because God asks us to honor you, because you are my dad and you gave me life. I'm choosing to. But then we have to get raw and real and honest and start to write out, well, and today I'm choosing to forgive you. I'm honoring you and I'm choosing to forgive you. And I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to be really specific about what you've done and how it's made me feel. And that process, sometimes a guided counselor is a really important thing to do, but sometimes people with the presence of God, you can find just ways. I've done this in different key relationships. You can write things out raw, real, and bring it before God. You might end up burning it. You might end up, don't send it. Don't leave it lying around for anyone else to read. But you write it out. And there's this process of writing out pain as you get it out that the Holy Spirit comes on. And it's almost like it will be painful while you're walking through it. But after a while, Father's Days won't be that day for you anymore. You won't have wounds. You might have scars. But there'll be joy. There'll be, and be like, oh, that's right, I've forgiven. This might take months, years. But you'll get to a day. And here's why we can get to the day. Because ultimately, the reason Jesus came is to connect us to a perfect Father. When Jesus came, the Israelites would occasionally refer to God in a generic sense of God, the Father of Israel. God's the Father. He's the Father of Israel. But when Jesus came, one of the things that rocked them the most is he referred to God as his Father. And he used an Aramaic word called Abba, not like as in Abba, Bjorn and all those guys, but we'll call it Abba. Abba is an Aramaic word that means dad or papa. It wasn't just something that a little toddler would call their parents. It would be something that a child or an adult would address their father with directly. So it's, you know, for me, I'd call my dad, dad. I never called him daddy. So if someone says, God's your daddy, I'm like, whoa, that's weird. That's just me. But for you, that could really mean something. What would you call your dad as a child, as a teenager, and now as an adult? What some would call them papa. Some, there's just different names. So when Jesus talked about his dad, he used this word Abba, my dad. And they were rocked because that's calling himself equal with God. And so when he taught the Lord's Prayer, he taught us, and this is what he said, when you pray, pray our Father, our Abba, our dad. Two cool things. One, our, as in when we become Christians, we become connected with Jesus as our brother. So it's we're praying to our Father, Jesus' Father, our Father. We become adopted into his family. This is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. When you become born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart and my heart. When you become a Christian, begin a relationship with God, and God moves from being distant and unknowable to beautiful, to loving, to kind, and our hearts go, Dad, God, Papa, whatever you would call your dad as an adult, as a teenager, as a child. It shocked them, but it's the most beautiful thing because we have a Father who wants to demonstrate love to us, a heavenly Father. He can fill the gap of our natural dads. It's good news as a dad because all the gaps I've got, if I can point my kids towards God, he can fill the gaps. It's good news for every person whose dad really let you down because you have a heavenly Father. And even the word dad can be a trigger word for people. My goal would be that as you go on a healing journey over a period of time, we have freedom experience, other things, is that dad actually becomes a great word, not a trigger word. I've got a heavenly Father. You might use a different word, but he demonstrates love. He speaks over you every day. You are my daughter, you are my son, and I'm pleased with you. That's what he does. This is who God is. He loves you and he's for you. I imagine the person who you really want to see the absolute most, who when you see them, your heart lifts and you want to run towards them and give them a big hug. Imagine that person and times it by 100, that's your heavenly father. Like, you're awesome. I love you. That's your heavenly father. Get him off the cranky God, old guy list. He's awesome, kind. Your heart will skip. He'll train and guide you. He will discipline us. He will provide for us and protect us. And he sent Jesus as the model for us to follow, the model of godliness. Can we close our eyes together right now? Father, I thank you for your kindness and your goodness here today. I thank you that you are a good, good Father. Perfect in all your ways. And so today we choose to be thankful for our earthly dads, for the men in our lives who have become spiritual dads, for grandfathers, for husbands. We just say thank you for them and we honor them today. But Lord, we also know today is a day of healing. It's a day of healing. It's a day of healing. And so I thank you for your healing power. Lord, you wash away every tear. You know, just with the eyes closed, one of the things I just really feel to say today, for those of you who your dad was absent, was abusive, was abandoned you, I just want to say I'm sorry. He might never say it, but can I just say on his behalf the things that he might never find the words to say? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that he abandoned you. I'm sorry that he was abusive. I'm sorry that he abdicated his responsibilities with you. I'm sorry he didn't affirm you. I'm sorry he spoke harsh words over you. I'm sorry he was unfaithful. Would you choose to forgive him right now? Sorry, he abandoned you, took his life, left you. Sorry. I pray, Holy Spirit, for your healing power. Choose to forgive, choose to forgive, choose to forgive. Not because he deserves it, but it's going to set you free. Thank you, Jesus. His healing here right now. The love of God pours out in our hearts. The love of God pours out. All right, we're doing good. Can we stand to our feet right now? I'm going to ask, just for 5 minutes, I'm going to ask the guys.